We continue our learning of the Ilui Nishmas, Davi ben Menachem, Rosh Hashem Yaakov, and Pinchas Leo. We're in Beitza, Perek Beis, Mishneh Ches. Shlosha Devarim Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Matir, V'Chachamim Hosim. There are three things Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah permitted, and the Chachamim prohibited. So number one, Paraso Yotza V'Rutzua Shebein Karneha. Number one, this is an issue of Hotza, or specifically, Shvisas Behemto. HaTorah commands us that on Shabbos, not only do we have an obligation to rest ourselves to ensure that we don't engage in malacha, but that our animals don't engage in malacha. It says, v'hemtecha, includes the animal. So part of Shvisas Behemto is to ensure our animal is not plowing, our animal are not carrying a masa, are not carrying a burden. So here, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah allowed his para, that's what the Mishnah says at least, to go out with a ritzua, with a strap between its horns into Rosh Hasharabim. Yes, person is commanded on Shvisas Behemto B'Shabbos, and you're not allowed to give your animal something that would go out in Rosh Hasharabim as a masa. Nonetheless, he felt that this was not a masa. This was a noi. This was noi. This was an ornament. This was a tachshit. And the same way we're allowed to carry, allowed to wear jewelry on Shabbos and Rosh Hasharabim, there's no concern. That's a beggar. You're allowed to wear clothing. There are certain things that are prohibited because we're afraid you may take them off. But generally speaking, clothing, jewelry is permitted, considered wearing. So too, when it comes to an animal. Hachacham, however, said that the ritzua, even that's for noi, that's even as an ornament, is prohibited because not all paros, not all cows normally have this, and therefore this has the status of a masa. Now the Braisa brings in Beitz on Daf Chav Gimel that lo shelo haisa. This was not his animal, although it says paraso, it wasn't his. Elo shel shekhena so haisa. It was his neighbor's, but umitoch shelo michaba nikres hal shemo. But because he did not protest that his neighbor allowed the animal to go out with this strap between the horns of the animal on Shabbos. So therefore, the Mishnah therefore attributes it to him and says, paraso. Next halacha. Umekardin asabahema b'yom tov. Number two, what he allowed was that you're allowed to comb an animal on Yom Tov. Now the comb, mikardin specifically, kirud, kuf, reish dalid, is a reference to combing the animal with an iron comb that has very thin teeth to it. And even though once in a while it makes a chabura in the animal, cause the animal to bleed, making a chabura potentially is a malacha of shochet. According to others, it's a malacha of dush, of threshing. According to others, it's the malacha of tzovea. But either way, making a chabura in an animal or in a person drawing blood is a malacha. Nonetheless, he allowed this because this is a davar she'eino miskaven. This is something like Rabbi Shimon's opinion. A davar she'eino miskaven is mutter. So this was not a concern according to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And number three, v'shochakin es al pilpilin barei chayim shelohem. He says you're allowed to grind pilpilin pepper with its own reichaim, its own millstone that is specific for the grinding of peppercorn. Even though you'll say that, this is very, very large and it's a big tircha to use this grinder. Nonetheless, he allowed such a thing. Chachamim, however, say no, you want to grind. So we spoke about grinding earlier. They would allow you to grind, but only a medocha katana, only if you had a small mortar, a small pestle of stone or of wood, but would not allow this specific rechayim that is designated specifically for pilpulin for peppercorn. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ein mikardin esabehema biyom tov, v'menei she'oseh chabura. So Rabbi Yehuda disagreed. Now, the three halachos, as we said, that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah allowed and the Chachamim did not allow, was number one was the para going out with this ritzua. Number two was combing the animal with an iron comb, and using the specific and grinding pepper with a rechaim shalom, with a specific rechaim, with a specific millstone. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein mikardin es habehema biyom tov mnei she'osa chabura. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you're not allowed, against Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you're not allowed to comb the animal with this iron comb, because Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, as we know throughout Shas, Dover Shein Miskaven is usur. So to use the Magredes Shel Barzel, to use, to do Kirud, Kuf Resh Dalid, is not allowed according to him, makes a Chabura, and Dover Shein Miskaven is going to be usur. Aval Mekaret Sefin, but what Rabbi Yehuda does allow is you can use a comb made out of wood. There the teeth are wider, and there's no concern of making a chabura, and that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So remember, the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah on all three of these issues. Presumably, they should be agreeing with Rabbi Yehuda that we don't allow kirud, but maybe we'll allow, which is the iron comb, and maybe we should allow our kirtzuf, we should allow you to, a person to use a wooden comb. So that's what the Mishnah is coming to teach us. V'chachamim romi here, no, ein makardin aflo makartzefin. Not only can't you use the iron comb, you can't even use the wooden comb, because they make a gzera. We don't allow kirtzuf using the wooden comb, even though there's no concern of chabura because of kirud, because we're afraid you may end up using an iron comb. Now, we come to the conclusion that, according to the Chachamim, we go the opposite extreme. We don't allow any of the combing of the animal at all, according to the opinion of the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda allows that which, that as long as you're using something that's not going to make a chabura, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah follows Rabbi Shimon's opinion, which is a davar she'enu miskaven is going to be mutter, and I'm allowed to do even kirud using the iron comb. Perek Beis Mishnah Tes. Harechayim shel piplin. Once we mention peppercorn using its millstone, so then this Mishnah speaks about that as well, the rechayim itself, the millstone itself of used for the peppers, and it's going to speak about the laws of Tumah, even though this is not related to Maseches Beitza, to the laws of Yom Tov. So it says Mishnah like this, Harechayim shel piplin tumeya is considered, it's susceptible to Tumah, mishum shlosha kalim, because of the three vessels that are included. Now, the Rechayim shel piplin was made out, you can see in the picture books, was made out of three separate sections. And each chelek, although they were all put together, each one is considered its own kli regarding tumah, in the sense that, if, let's say one of them breaks and it's no longer susceptible to tumah, because it no longer has the status of a kli, the other two are still going to be susceptible to tumah. Not only that, some say that let's say one becomes tumah, maybe only that becomes tumah, and maybe the other one does not. And even though bishas malacha, even though the time that it's used, it's all one unit, since each one, its roi is fit for its own malacha, Tosus of the opinion that maybe that's what the Mishnah's that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. It's mitame mishum shlosha kalim, in the sense that each one is considered separate, as opposed to when you have one unit, one kli, one part becomes tummy, the whole thing becomes tummy. Maybe we would not say that regarding the rechaim shel pilpulin, because it's made up of three different kalim. What are the three different kalim that we have, and what are their status of tumah? May depend, obviously, on the material that it's made from. All discussed in Maseches in Seder Taros. Mishum, specifically Maseches Kalim, the first Masecht of Seder Taros. Number one is Mishum Clay, Kli Kibble. Number one, the bottom section, which is made out of wood, and it's that which receives within it, within that receptacle, the all of the peppercorns that have been ground. So that's tumay, because it's a kli eitz. That's pretty simple for us. We know when it comes to kli eitz, when it comes to wood, we learned a little bit in sukkah. When it comes to wood, so wood that's flat, pshute kli eitz, it's not mekabel tumah. That's why I can use that for schach. But if you have a kli, you have wood that is has a clay kibble that is not flat, it has a receptacle in it, that is mekabel tumah. So that's the classic, that's the bottom kli, and that's clay kibble, it's kli eitz, and that's the bottom section of the rechaim shel pilpulin. And then the Mishnah says, umishum kli matchos, it's also going to be mekabel tumah because of kli matchos, because of a metal kli. What's that? That's the upper section. That the upper section is where we grind the peppercorns. That's tummy because it's made out of metal, and it's, there's no clay cubule there. It's flat, but that's okay. Metal's mekabel tuma is susceptible to tuma even when it's flat. That's why you have flat, if you have flat poles made out of metal, those are not kosher for schach because of the mekabel tuma. And then umishum kli kvara. And because of a kli, a kvara means a sieve, that's the middle section. It's made out of wood, but it but because it's set up, it's wood, it's almost like a wicker basket, using wooden slats, because it allows the avak ha-pilpin, allows the dust of the peppercorns, and it holds the larger pieces, the impurities, let's say, that sit on top, and that which is I want to use as peppercorn comes down to the bottom. So that has a certain status of a kli kibul as well, even though it doesn't really have a receptacle, and it's like a kvara, more like a sieve. Nonetheless, because it allows some of the impurities to stay on top, and that which you want to come through, it also has the status of a clay kibul, and therefore it's going to be mekabel tuma. And some say that a clay kavara is not mekabel tuma because of clay kibul, because it doesn't have a kibul. There is no receptacle. Nonetheless, the Chachamim made a gzera on this, that it's mekabel tuma for a different reason. Because of kli orod, meaning a sieve looks very much like a kli that's been woven. Imagine, let's say, you look at your lulav holder. So lulav holder, say, oh, that's made out of leaves. That's wood. No, but and it's flat. But nonetheless, but it looks like clothing. It's woven, and clothing is mekabel tuma, and therefore, maybe we should, the Chacham should make a gzera on anything that looks like clothing, anything that's woven, and indeed that would explain the kli kvara, the middle section of this kli of the Reichaim shel pilpulin.